bread time. Yeah, it's a pretty minimal intro. Yeah, essential.
Okay, so welcome to Bread Time. My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz.
Flipping the switch. Seems to be pretty easy, right? When did someone decide that was something that needed to be solved? That's what I used to think a week ago. Literally the simplest task I do in my entire day is flip a goddamn switch to turn on or off a light. Like every time anybody talks about Google Home or Echo or whatever, like, oh, why is a connected home something that is interesting? Everyone, the first thing they say is like, oh yeah, have it hooked up to my lights, it's great. I don't have to turn them on or off ever. That's like the easiest thing I do every day. So anyway, I think I had an epiphany on why this is important. I think we should talk about it.
I'd love to hear.
I've gathered a few Bluetooth speakers throughout the times that I enjoy using very much. I have a Jambox, I have a Bose one, and recently I bought this thing called the Google Chrome Audio, Chromecast Audio or something like that. And what it does is you plug it in and you can now listen to all three of them, even though they're from three different manufacturers at the same time. And you can have like audio in your entire home. And that is really interesting to me. That like in terms of connecting home, that I'm into that. So then I caught the bug and then I was like, okay, how else can I connect this home? Like what else can I do? So I bought a Google Wi-Fi because that's like better for many reasons that I don't understand. And then I encountered these bulbs that I still think are not quite as revolutionary as people say. But what I like about it is that you can then use your lights as a different input, almost like a push notification for your day or something like that, where you can use them to know when it's time to do something.
Yeah, I think you know this about me. I have this like theory, like when you're designing something, it has to like make the person feel like superhuman in some particular way in order to be successful. So like, yeah, the bicycle, it's like, oh yeah, I can go way faster, but I look like I'm just walking essentially or something. That's like superhuman, right? Or like if you're making some sort of camera or something like that, if it makes photos just seem so much better than you could normally do, where you feel like massively empowered by it, it's like more successful. And I think like you're basically saying it's like these connected devices, like I don't like, yeah, flipping a switch is like kind of fun actually. So it has to be significantly better than that. I have like three Hue bulbs and they're like in three different rooms and they all turn on right at sunset. And then at 10:45 p.m. they go to like half dimness and I know like, oh, it's 10:45, it's got to start winding down, and it gives me this like feeling. And every time they go down to that like half brightness, I have this little feeling of like, I did that once, and it happens every single time. Like I feel like it was this superhuman gesture that I did. I like Andrea, for example, I don't think she feels that amount of pleasure from it, but I do because I feel like I did the thing. So it like gives me this power. And like, yeah, what you're saying with the speakers, yeah, if you're the thing you're listening to, you're like, haha, now it's in every room. You have this feeling of superhuman, like you've spread the sound, right? And like that is like somehow powerful.
Yeah.
I think that's why these things are kind of addictive at the very beginning, the connected home idea, because people want to be more powerful and these things enable those sensibilities.
Fundamentally is the feeling I get just by multitasking, right? Like I remember when I first got LimeWire, the idea of like downloading a song or a movie, like, and I go just go about my day and this thing is like downloading as I'm away, that gives me so much pleasure actually.
It made me think of like the PlayStation 4, how when they introduced that thing where basically like I could be like on my phone at work and I'm like, hey, we're all gonna start playing this new game. I can actually buy it from my phone and my PlayStation will start to actually download it. So it'll be fully downloaded when I get home. Like, yeah, it feels like, again, a superpower. It's like, I wasn't there, but I did it. I somehow have this like magic ability.
Yeah, but the problem for me was that these all seem to be solving really, really like simple problems that are
these
not
are
problems.
Not real problems.
Oh, you have a connected doorbell. It's like, what? Like, all these things are quote unquote connected, seem to be very minute, and it's the aggregation of all those things that makes the experience worthwhile, maybe. But I think any one of those and as a singular problem to be solved, are they become a caricature of itself.
My guess is if we went to Wisconsin right now and interviewed 50 random people who live there, I'd say like one of them might be excited about connected stuff. But I think we're more excited about it probably, and like the general tech community is excited by it because we're in the experimental phase. Like, which one of these connected devices is actually going to pan out to be useful? Like, which ones are actually going to like make my life better? And like, because these people are excited by technology, we're more willing to experiment with it. Lights, I think, are a no-brainer. There's some advantages to lights, like turning on and off without your constant maintenance. I think that makes life a little bit easier for people, and there's some like reasons to do it elsewise.
Before we leave from the lights topic, I was using these bulbs that were like 2 years old, and the only way I can turn these bulbs on or off is through the app. Right, so now I put in the bulbs, and I can use the switch, because if I turn it off, then it can turn on automatically. So like now the switch is like out of my reach. I need to like somehow forget about this switch. So the only thing I can do to turn off the fucking light is turn on, like, get my phone, unlock it, find the app, find whatever UI they have to like turn off the lights. That is actually making this very small interaction that was kind of enjoyable and making it kind of awful. Yeah. Like, the only way this works is if I can then tie that into, like, if this, then that or something, or I can connect it to, like, a Google Home or something like that. I can just shout out, turn off the lights or something. But there's a spectrum there where, like, as soon as you get it, if you do the minimum thing there, you're actually worsening the experience until you actually aggregate it with it, all the other components, and then you can get the full reward from using it.
The lighting setup that I have right now is like, yeah, I don't touch it. I don't want to be opening apps to like change my lights, but like I live in a life that has a pretty good routine. So like the routine lights just tend to work for it. Yeah, I think that works well in that case. But if I'm interacting with these things, yeah, it's generally harder than the super tangible light switch on the wall that has like lasted for a very long time is like a functional way to adjust the light. Once you get past like a few more generations of all this stuff, how they're integrated together to be more seamlessly, yeah, then it's pretty interesting. Like, if the house is built to be a big robot that helps you, I mean, it kind of is already. Like, a house could have like centralized air, and that's pretty automated. It's like kind of like a rudimentary version of it. But like, if the house really was like this kind of robotic life force to support you and make things easy, it's like, it does make sense that things would move this direction.
Although, to me, what's exciting is not necessarily whether it's automated or not, because like I said, I can press a freaking switch, like, I actually enjoy pressing the switch, right? It's not the automation, but it is the fact that it is tailored to me. Mm-hmm. And then I can then use those signals to customize whatever I want those signals to mean. Like, I could make the lights flash blue every time I get a reply on Twitter or something. Or, I mean, that would be fairly obnoxious, but like, if you could do stuff like that, right? And now you're like appropriating your own meaning on traditional things like light or temperature or things like that. And I think that's the power, where you can now like transfer your own kind of customization or your own desires from yourself as a user to the world around you, to the environment around you. Yeah.
I am kind of in like a anti-notification part of my life. I go back and forth between wanting to be highly connected and not so connected. So yeah, things like getting notified via these accessories doesn't seem very good, because I'd rather just be focused on what I was doing in the moment. And I think when they can help you like achieve, like maybe if the lights could be like, give me focus mode or something, and then it like puts you in a really cool vibe. Like, I am building this music cabinet at home, and I put like LED strip lighting in there, and it has a little remote control, and I press red and dim it down all the way, and then all of a sudden I'm in this like cool music making vibe. That's cool if I could just be like, begin music making session, and like everything gets in that place. But it's not like a huge advantage.
Imagine a completely connected home, like a connected tiny house, and I could just be like, I want to eat, and the fucking thing just moves around them, like in the kitchen mode, right? Or a diner mode.
Okay, so I'm having a little party tonight. If I could say...
Well, thanks for inviting me, dude.
You're coming. I'm announcing it now. Okay, I'm having this party tonight, and it's like, okay, Alexa, get us into party mode. And then it like puts the lights in the right move, puts the music on the right way, starts baking cookies, like it lights some candles or something. It like arranges the furniture, right? Like, this is like ideal, right? Everything there is to a party, and I just said something. Is that actually like a desirable thing? Because there's something that's kind of cool about the process of the responsibility, like, I have people coming over. I want to get things in order. I want to do things with these things. That's actually pleasurable on some weird level. It is pleasurable not in like a way that's like, hey, I want to do that, but you feel a sense of accomplishment by doing it. When you're like, okay, I'm ready for the party now and I did that thing, that's like being alive, right? So are we fighting that sort of like sensibility with these type of things, like if it could get there? I don't know.
I don't think so, because those are just things that get in the way for
from partying.
from partying, really, from us gathering and having an interaction as humans, which is essentially what living is about.
True.
Like, everything else is just facilitating that interaction, facilitating giving you an excuse to come to my house to party or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like, if we could just remove any barrier for that and just be like, Wednesdays we do parties and my house knows that, and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. everything fucking changes to a party, then we actually live, which is partying.
House, it's poker night, and it just like happens. That is pretty, I guess, great, because then I spend zero amount of my time trying to facilitate the end result. I just get the end result, which is like, I get it. I understand why we would move that direction, and I understand like the value of it, but it does seem disturbing. It's like a world where you just get what you want, and I'm not sure.
But what you want is not to set up the party. What you want is to have a party and for someone to get drunk in that party, and then you have a memory about that party, right? Like, it's not the fact that you bought chips and, you know, artisanal kale that you enjoy, even though that could be enjoyable. Like, what makes life worth living is the memories you build out of the experiences that you make.
I might agree with you, but I might also disagree with you. So think of like a holiday, right? And like people who have memories of their family making some specific food for that holiday. Like, they have like a real good experience with that, and it might not have been that much fun. Your family might have fought, you might have like done all these things that is, it was like hard work, or you're like didn't turn out right. All of these things could have been bad, but the way the mind works, I think, is it like it does draw positive experiences from those times, even if they're like, it, what if like if you spent all of your day, like you're like, it's work time now, and everything gets into work mode and you're just working, and it's like it's fun time mode now, and like the video game kicks in and you're like sitting in a chair and like the mood lights are going and it's just pouring cookies into your mouth. Like if you just went from thing to thing like that really fast, maybe our minds would adapt to it. But I think for the like, there's a long transitional period where we would feel worthless.
That's literally an argument against the internet. Like, before it, we like our days used to be a lot simpler, right? We would spend a lot longer doing fewer things. Mm-hmm. And because of internet, because of the access that gives us, or the automobile, or, you know, the telephone, all these like technology enables us to do more easily and faster so that we can get to the thing that actually we're trying to do.
I'm blown away as you are. I don't know why I'm taking the conservative viewpoint on this one. Like, normally, I'm like, yeah, car's good, much better than horse. Like, I normally feel this way.
And somebody's going to be like, but the bond that you got with your horse, you're going to give that away. That's life worth living.
Where could this all go then? So I think it's, yeah, pretty interesting if we have a world where you just say what you want, the thing happens. I mean, like, your physical space adapts to what you're doing. Maybe you don't even say what you want. Maybe it's just kind of like you start working and everything falls into place and you're not interacting with your home, but everything about your home is supporting the things that you want to do. I think that's what people are thinking about right now in this really like topsical way, right? Like, these little moments give you a hint of that future and people are excited by it. But the products obviously are not anywhere near that sort of experience yet. How long do you think it'll take to get there?
For the fully connected home dream?
Yeah, like, what will it take to get to that? Like, what are the major blockers right now?
Interconnectivity, right? So make sure all these things work together in a way that is cohesive.
Like open standards that everyone can plug into, and it doesn't matter what device you're using.
Yeah, so this notion that everything talks to everything. My pants talk to my glasses, talk to my light, talk to everything, right? Everything talks to everything, and it is done in a way that it is beneficial to all the parties. That's probably the biggest thing that needs to happen. Because I do think the benefit is once you have like 10 of these things that are all connected, that's when your life really sees a big change. If you just have bulbs that turn on and off like once a day, that's not a step change in my life. Mm-hmm. So what's preventing us from doing that is getting a mass adoption of this way forward. Like, my kitchen needs to know that it's next to the fridge, and the fridge needs to know that it's next to the door knob, and they all need to know, like, my fridge needs to know that I need more Coke, so then orders it through Amazon. Amazon. Amazon delivers it, and then that the package knows when it's near the doorknob, so it opens itself. Like, all these things need to work together, right? That's my guess.
When you get free, or when you get Coke delivered without your effort at all, we will be there.
It's 2017 right now. I think being optimistic, 2020, you'll be able to buy a house that it is connected from the inside out.
We should look it up on the internet for this. There's probably it already exists to some degree. Yeah, I think it'll take a really long... I mean, I'm from the Midwest, and I know that a lot of this technology stuff is totally unexciting, and there is a strong sense of conserving the way of life that already exists. So I think it's going to change for different people. I think there's going to be the early adopter wave that takes on as much of this stuff as possible, buys homes that are connected, and will probably move quite a bit into this sort of like lifestyle. There'll be people that don't touch this stuff for like the rest of their lives. Like, they won't want anything to do with it. I mean,
there's people that do everything. There's people that like get off by like rubbing on balloons. Like, my point is, like, when will it get mass adoption? When will we get the iPhone of houses?
Okay, I'm gonna answer it. 2040.
2040.
At least there's like 10 years of getting platforms that work together. There's like also probably 10 years of development in order to get enough processing power into all of these devices and battery. I mean, battery power is probably the thing that's like the hardest, because if you need something with basically a computer in it that can be interfacing with everything else, it needs enough power to suffice. And battery.
Gotcha, man. I got those Elon Musk roof tiles and power everything.
Okay, this episode of Bread Time's over.
Brought to you by roof tiles by Elon Musk.
Yeah. Yes. So connected devices, are they probably going to take over the world? Yes. Gabe thinks it's a lot faster. I think it's going to be a lot slower. What do you think? Why don't you let us know on Twitter at BreadTimeFM? Also, you can check out our website, breadtime.fm, where you can subscribe. And if you like what you heard, feel free to share this episode with a friend. It's the best way we know that I get the word out. No, don't say that. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, welcome to a new segment of Bread Time called Shoutouts. Shoutout. We're going to give shoutouts to the people that reply to us on Twitter because we're lonely. Let's see. Shout out to Adam Ho.
Adam Ho.
What up? OMG Adam Ho on Twitter. We think you're very insightful, man.
Oh my God.
Shout out to Sinclair. You know Sinclair?
Yeah, dude. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for listening.
One more shout out. Shout out to Aegis.
Yeah, man. You've been very supportive lately. I appreciate it.
It's at Aegis Ilaos, T-S. A-G-I-S-I-L-A-O-S-T-S.